RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News, and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first day headlines. The Vice President gave directives to the Police High-Level College. The Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology, BBPT, launches cloud seeding operation to trigger rain in drought-stricken regions. Indonesian governments push export to the Middle East. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla, in his speech to participants of Staff College and high-level leaders of National Police 2015 at the Vice Presidential Palace, Jakarta, on Monday, asked the police to understand the causes of conflict. During this time, according to Yusuf Kalla, the police is different from the army. The police protect and serve the people so that the police should understand why the conflict occurred. Vice President Kalla said Indonesia remains safer than other countries such as the Philippines, Thailand, Myanmar, and the Middle East. The Vice President added, many people thought that the conflict occurred because of religion, but actually it happened due to injustice. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the need for harmonization of religious life to prevent conflicts so that it is no longer occurred continuously. The Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology, or BBPT, launched its cloud seeding operation earlier this week to trigger rain in some of Indonesia's rice production hubs, which have been affected by El Nino. The BBPT will be applying its weather modification technology, TMC, over the next 3 months in cooperation with the Indonesian military, the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, and the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB. The BBPT's cloud seeding unit head, Heru Widodo, said, as quoted from the Jakarta Globe, that the TMC operation is intended to trigger downpour over drought-stricken rice field, and also to fill dams. The targeted areas are rice-producing regions in 8 provinces, South Sumatra, Lampung, West Java, Central Java, East Java, West Nusa Tenggara, East Nusa Tenggara, and South Sulawesi. The Air Force base at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport in East Jakarta is serving as a base of operations for the cloud seeding program. Heru explained that under the program, the BMKG will provide daily weather analysis and prediction. Economist from Samratulangi University, Manado, North Sulawesi, Jobert Maramis, said the government should encourage export to the Middle East that is not affected by the strengthening of the U.S. dollar. Jobert in Manado, North Sulawesi, on Monday said that countries in the Middle East is very potential to be export destination of North Sulawesi because it has not been affected by the strengthening of the U.S. dollar. Moreover, there are some countries in the Middle East become the destination of North Sulawesi export during this time. He explained the weakening of rupiah has little influence to national export performance, especially to China, which became Indonesia's largest export destination. According to Jobert, the government should be smart in seeing the conditions and attempted to anticipate so that the North Sulawesi export performance is not affected by the weakening of rupiah. The Jakarta provincial government will develop the tourism concept into meetings, incentives, conferences, and exhibitions or MICE. With this concept, tourism sector in the capital will be divided into two concepts, whereabout MICE concept will be applied in cities area and island tourism will be applied in Seribu Island. Head of Jakarta Development Planning Agency, Bappeda, Tuti Kusumawati, stated on Sunday that MICE is a concept that will be used for capital tourism development. She said tourism potential in capital could be boosted through MICE. City start to organize the service system with one-stop integrated service or PTSP. She said it brings easiness for tourism business practitioners. Besides that, city administration is also building several infrastructure in transportation field to boost MICE development. Developing in capital, they are mass rapid transit MRT, as well as rapid transit bus or BRT. Kusumawati further said tourism development can also be focused in Seribu Island, but over different field since Seribu Islands will focus on maritime tourism. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Social Affairs Minister Kofifa Indar Parawansa has called on the community to protect and make Indonesian children happy as one of their responsibilities toward the nation's next generation. The minister said in Surabaya on Sunday, when commemorating the National Children's Day at the Surabaya Heroes Monument, protecting the children means preventing them from negative actions such as violence, crimes, and other maltreatment. Nowadays, she added, children are rampant to crimes, therefore parents in particular and the community in general must protect them. In the meantime, chairperson of the organizing committee, Chuk Kasturi Sukiyadi, reminded the government to meet the rights of children. The Children's Day was commemorated with numerous activities such as dance performances, traditional games, kite contest, and a storytelling competition. Some 580 children, including those with disabilities, participated in the commemoration. The regional government of Kudus Regency in Central Java Province offers a non-collateral loan, or COOP, scheme to 13,000 micro, small, and medium enterprises in various sub-districts to enable them to develop their businesses. It was said by acting head of the Kudus District Office for Industry, Cooperatives and Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises, Bambang Waluyo, said in Kudus, Central Java on Tuesday. He said following the availability of this COOP scheme, the revolving fund program has no longer existed. This newly launched program enables local micro, small and medium-scale entrepreneurs who have run their businesses for at least 1 year to get the productive loans without providing collateral assets as often required by conventional banks. In order to obtain this scheme, he said, the applicants need to meet such requirements as returning the loans on time. The application's commitment is required to prevent other applicants from getting late disbursements. After being legitimized, East Jakarta Tourism and Culture Sub-Department will add more Betawi Festival. The effort aims to attract young generation to know more, understand, and love Betawi culture. Sri Chatur Setiawati, head section of Culture Department of South Jakarta Culture and Tourism Sub-Department, on Sunday, 30th of August. She considered there are three things of preservation, namely protection, development, and utilization. In terms of protection, her party held art performing activity routinely for students with the aim of instilling a love of young generation to the art of Betawi culture. East Jakarta had Gambang Kromang Festival for a Gambang Kromang group, Hul East Jakarta, she said. While in terms of development, East Jakarta needs innovation and creativity that the art could be developed following public taste so it can live and sustainable. There would be more studios invited to enliven the event. At least, there were 196 art studios from several segments exist in East Jakarta currently. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The Vice President gave directives to the Police High-Level College, or SESPIMTI. The Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology launches cloud seeding operation to trigger rain in drought-stricken regions. Indonesian governments push export to the Middle East. That was the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and commentary today is on ready to receive, must be ready to be criticized. Press freedom is a right granted by the Constitution relating to the protection of media and published materials, like the spreading of printing of newspapers, magazines, books, or in other forms without any intervention or censorship from the government. A free and responsible press is a concept that is coveted in the growth of the press in Indonesia, that is, free from any pressure, coercion, or repression by any party, including the governments of certain parties. Of course, the press must not ignore values and norms that apply, as well as to uphold journalistic ethics in accordance with provisions. The press is a reflection of society with all its dynamics. We should not be surprised when the contents of press coverage varied concerning all areas of human life, especially after the opening chance for foreign press to cover and describe the various sides of human life in Indonesia as a whole. The government has opened access for reporters of foreign media to enter Indonesia. This was stated by President Joko Widodo, who said the government has provided the freedom for foreign journalists to cover the whole of Indonesia, including Papua. But this freedom is not without limits. The government has pocketed a list of foreign media who work in accordance with the Code of Ethics of Journalism, and also they who often presented misleading as well as unbalanced information. Foreign journalists should not feel worried, though, because this policy is a preventive effort to protect the nation from the interests of certain parties. The entry of foreign press to Indonesia is also increasingly facilitated by the withdrawal of a circular which requires foreign journalists to get permission from the government before reporting. As a nation which is actively developing, a strategy is needed to inform the world about the course of development in Indonesia. One of the advantages of the activities of foreign press is that they could present positive news stories about Indonesia, which in turn could attract foreign investors to invest in the country. The press is the fourth pillar of democracy and has an important role in building trust, credibility, and even the legitimacy of a government. Foreign press could also inform about Indonesia's development in order to create awareness, beliefs, and expectation in the international world, informing the world that in carrying out the development, Indonesia has been running in the right direction. With its experience and ability, this nation has undertaken the development as planned. The government need not fear foreign press covering negative things about Indonesia. In this age of openness like now, we must be ready to accept foreign press, including their criticism. Well, that was commentary today on Ready to Receive, Must Be Ready to Be Criticized. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on August 31, 1926, when Young Indonesia was established in Jakarta. Listener, before Youth Pledge 1928 or Sumpah Pemuda, there were many regional organizations in Indonesia. Because of that, on August 15, 1926, some youth organizations held a meeting in Jakarta to discuss a permanent board of Indonesian Young People Organization. The result of the meeting, on 31st August 1926, a new youth organization named Young Indonesia was established. This organization aimed to plant and to realize the ideals of unity throughout Indonesia. This new organization, in fact, was not as expected, so that in early 1927, youth organization named Young Indonesia in Bandung was established. Then, Young Indonesia organization, which was established in Bandung, was changed to be Pemuda Indonesia, or Indonesian Youth. Pemuda Indonesia held a conference where, in the second conference, produced Sumpah Pemuda, or Youth Pledge, on October 28, 1928. And the next event was in 1962 when Trinidad and Tobago gained independence. Trinidad and Tobago is a twin island country off the northern edge of South America, lying just off the coast of northeastern Venezuela and south of Grenada in the Lesser Antilles. The island of Trinidad was a Spanish colony from the arrival of Christopher Columbus in 1498, to the capitulation of the Spanish governor Don Jose Maria Chacon on the arrival of a British fleet of 18 warships on February 18, 1797. During the same period, the island of Tobago changed hands among Spanish, British, French, Dutch, and Hollander colonizers, Trinidad and Tobago remaining separate until 1889, were ceded to Britain in 1802, under the Treaty of Amiens. The country Trinidad and Tobago obtained independence. The country Trinidad and Tobago obtained independence in 1962 and became a republic in 1976. And the last event was in 2012 when Angola held a general election under the new constitution. Angola held a general election under the new constitution on August 31, 2012. The elections on August 31, 2012 was the third general elections held since Angola ended the civil war that lasted for 27 years in 1975. August 31, 2012 general election is the first election held under a new constitution that abolished direct presidential elections. With the new constitution enacted in 2010, the leader of the party winning the general election automatically became the president. The election decided incumbent president Jose Eduardo dos Santos again maintained his position after the party led by him, the People's Movement for the Liberation of Angola, or MPLA, received the most votes in the election, which stood at about 74% of the vote. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. In today's edition, it's on diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Kazakhstan now and in the future. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. 22 years ago, on June 2, 1993, Indonesia and Kazakhstan started to open diplomatic relations. The opening of formal diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Kazakhstan was a starting point for cooperation between the two countries. Indonesia and Kazakhstan have much in common. The two countries have abundant natural resources, the majority of the population are Muslims, and both have a commitment in the field of human rights, rule of law, and democracy. Although Kazakhstan is the ninth largest country in the world, the number of population of Kazakhstan is only 7% of the total population of Indonesia, which amounted to 250 million people. Kazakhstan President Nazarbayev's visit to Jakarta in April 2012 is the most recent important event in the bilateral relations between Indonesia and Kazakhstan. The bilateral meeting between President Nazarbayev with President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono on April 13, 2012, resulted in several agreements. Among others, the agreement on visa exemption for holders of diplomatic passports and official passports of the two countries, which has been effective since January 26, 2013, and a commitment to increase bilateral trade volume to 5 times the current trading volume. The two leaders also encouraged companies of Indonesia and Kazakhstan to intensify cooperation, including the establishment of a joint venture both in Kazakhstan and Indonesia in business sectors that have been agreed by both parties. Indonesian Ambassador to Kazakhstan, Foster Gultom, to ERA Reward Service in Astana, Kazakhstan, said that from 1995 to 2013, many agreements generated between Indonesia and Kazakhstan in various fields, such as in politics, economics, social, cultural, tourism, and energy fields.
Kita sejauh ini sudah ada 14 persetujuan ya dan perjanjian antara pemerintah.
We have so far already had 14 agreements between the government which were produced from 1995 until the last in 2012. In 2013, there was also a wide range of agreements in different sectors in the areas of politics, international security, and economic, social, cultural, and followed by actual agreements between the businessmen of both countries. Around 11 are the agreement between businessmen of both countries in several sectors such as manufacturing, food, medicine, tourism, construction of infrastructure development, and also in the energy sector.
Pembangunan pengembangan infrastruktur dan juga di sektor energi misalnya itu.
Furthermore, Ambassador Foster Gultom said that the realization of all the agreements has entered into force since the two countries opened their embassies and sent ambassadors respectively in 2012. Now and in the future, what is less important to be pushed is the relational aspects of people-to-people contact. Trends in tourist arrivals from Indonesia to Kazakhstan and vice versa shows people of both countries positive interest to know each other better. Kazakh students and academics have participated in several scholarship and cultural arts programs offered by the Indonesian government for closer interaction between the two countries, especially at the grassroots level. All that has been agreed by leaders of both countries are followed up by government agencies, private sector, and other stakeholders of the two countries so that the results will be able to be enjoyed by the people of Kazakhstan and Indonesia. Well, that was focus of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Indonesia-Kazakhstan's relations now and in the future. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers published on Monday, August 31st in Jakarta. Compass Daily in its headline writes about the majority of democracy to be examined. The majority of Indonesian democracy is again examined in the simultaneous regional heads election on December 9, 2015. At the day, there will be a democracy event in 262 regions, which will be lasted to 3.5 months to go. It has become the challenge for the next democracy in local level. Simultaneous election is actually not firstly implemented in Indonesia. On April 9, 2012, Aceh performed election for governor and 17 regions simultaneously. However, the stages of simultaneous regional heads election is not run smoothly yet. The sociologist from the University of Indonesia, Imam Prasojo, on Sunday said that the implementation of simultaneous election will become democracy task for people. Media Indonesia writes in its headlines, Indonesia regions, is to accelerate budget absorption. President Joko Widodo's insistence that the region accelerate the absorption of budget, which coupled with the formation of escort team, security, administration and development, or TP4, by the Attorney General, is responded positively. A number of regions even directly set a target acceleration of the budget absorption. East Java provincial government, for example, targeting to absorb the regional budget up to 70% from the total of 23 trillion rupiah by the end of September 2015. Until the end of July, the budget absorption of East Java reached 50.26%, making East Java as the province with the fourth highest national budget absorption. In the meeting with regional leaders at the Bogor Palace last week, President Joko Widodo instructed the regions to immediately accelerate budget spending to boost the economy. The provincial budget is allocated 39.2% and region or city 24.29%. While Republika writes in its headline about Mahathir calls people to topple regime, former Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad called People Power Movement, all Malaysian people, Mahathir said, should participate to impose Prime Minister Najib Razak, who involved financial scandal of Malaysia Development Berhad. According to Mahathir, the only way to clean the old corrupt government system is to impose its Prime Minister. Chief of Kuala Lumpur Police Datuk Tahuddin M.D. Isa said, up to 6 p.m. local time, total of demonstrants reached to 26,000 people. On the other hand, Najib Razak underestimated mass power who urged him to step down. We end today's headline with Business Indonesia. The Daily writes in its headline about preparation of relaxation of mineral and coal. The government is ready to issue various new policy in mineral and coal sector in September 2015. Director General of Mineral and Coal, the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources Bambang Gatot Aryono said, after the evaluation is over, in the near future, there will be several options taken by the government, including relaxation of mineral export. The government options, Gatot added, should handling stagnancy of mine investment, especially downstream program that still under construction, such as the development of mineral refining facility. That was headline of national newspapers published in Jakarta today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla, in his speech to participants of Staff College and High-Level Leaders of National Police 2015 at the Vice Presidential Palace Jakarta on Monday, asked the police to understand the causes of conflict. During this time, according to Yusuf Kalla, the police is different from the army. The police protect and serve the people so that the police should understand why the conflict occurred. The Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology, or BPPT, launched its cloud seeding operation earlier this week to trigger rain in some of Indonesia's rice production hubs, which have been afflicted by El Nino. Economist from Samratulangi University, Manado, North Sulawesi, Jubert Marami, said the government should encourage export to the Middle East that is not affected by the strengthening of the U.S. dollar. Jakarta provincial government will develop the tourism concept into meetings, incentives, conferences, and exhibitions, or MICE. With this concept, tourism sector in the capital will be divided into two concepts. Social Affairs Minister Kofifa Indar Parawansa has called on the community to protect and make Indonesian children happy as one of their responsibilities toward the nation's next generation. The regional government of Kudus Regency in Central Java Province offers a non-collateral loan scheme to 13,000 micro, small and medium enterprises in various sub-districts to enable them to develop their businesses. After being legitimized, Jakarta Tourism and Culture Sub-Department will add more Betawi festival. The effort aims to attract young generation to know more, understand, and love Betawi culture. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Kepulauan Riau province in Sumatra. So stay tuned. Listener, Abang Island is a famous marine tourism destination in Batam, a small island which is in the southern of Batam Island, Kepulauan Riau province. Batam is part of Galang sub-district. As a marine tourism destination which is developed by Batam City Administration, Abang Island is a haven for you who love diving, snorkeling, island hopping, fishing, and various water sport activities. If you are interested in visiting the island, you can start your trip from the center of Batam City to Barelang 6 Bridge, then it is continued by using a speedboat to Abang Island. This trip takes around 1 hour. Listener, Abang Island is surrounded by some small islands such as Petong, Dedap, Hantu, Pengerlap, Kelapa, and Abang Besar Islands. Its water is mostly grown by various coral reefs, which natural is still maintained. Based on the monitoring result in Abang Island and surrounding areas, at 12 research locations, there are 3 locations with coral good category and 5 locations with middle category. Well, from the result of the coral fish observation with underwater fish visual sensors method, there are 149 kinds of coral fishes which are included in 27 tribes. Because of that, Abang Island Sea and surrounding area by the Ministry of Tourism was included in the 2011 National Tourism Destination List. It means the beauty of marine tour of Abang Island is equal to other world's popular marine destinations such as Bali, Bunaken, and Raja Ampat in Papua. Listener, having tour on Abang Island, besides island hopping on surrounding the beautiful and natural islands, you can also do snorkeling or diving at some spots which are often visited by tourists. If you don't have snorkeling equipment, you can still enjoy Abang Island while fishing. There are various kinds of fishes in the water such as travelly fish, lanting fish, red sand, red snapper until areca fish. Listener, part of Abang Island Beach, there is mangrove ecosystem, especially at the north. While because of the rugged topography, causing the majority of population housing sites is located around the coast. This settlement pattern is in the form of linear or elongated following the shoreline, so it looks pretty. A perfect blend of beautiful natural ecosystems with friendly locals. The hospitality of the population of Abang Island when welcoming the guests is certainly undeniable. They will be happy to rent out their houses for a temporary stay of tourists visiting the Abang Island because there are no lodging facilities in the region. Moreover, the locals are famous for adept to provide delicious food such as boiled sweet snails and sour shrimps. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Menjual Perlengkapan Rumah Tangga, which in English means selling household tools. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Menjual. Menjual, which means to sell. Perlengkapan rumah tangga. Perlengkapan rumah tangga, which means household tools. Pindah. Pindah, which means moving. Luar negeri. Luar negeri, which means abroad. Pembeli. Pembeli, which means buyer. Microwave. Microwave, which means microwave. Mesin cuci. Mesin cuci, which means washing machine. Mesin pencuci piring. Mesin pencuci piring, which means dishwasher. Kompor gas. Kompor gas, which means gas stove. Barang bekas. Barang bekas, which means used goods. Dijamin. Dijamin, which means to be guaranteed. Harga. Harga, which means price. Murah. Murah, which means cheap. Menawarkan. Menawarkan, which means offer.
Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Menjual Perlengkapan Rumah Tangga, or in English means selling household tools. The conversation is between A. Ika and B. Mary at the office. A. Ika. Teman saya Rina akan pindah ke luar negeri. Teman saya Rina akan pindah ke luar negeri, which means my friend Rina will move to abroad. Dia mau menjual barang-barang rumah tangga. Dia mau menjual barang-barang rumah tangganya, which means she wants to sell her household tools. Apa kamu punya pembeli? Apa kamu punya pembeli, which means do you have buyers? B. Mary. Dia mau menjual barang apa saja? Dia mau menjual barang apa saja, which means what type of goods she wants to sell? A. Ika. Dia mau menjual lemari es, microwave. Dia mau menjual lemari es, microwave, which means she wants to sell refrigerator, microwave, mesin cuci, which means washing machine, mesin pencuci piring dan kompor gas, mesin pencuci piring dan kompor gas, which means dishwasher and gas stove, walaupun barang bekas dijamin masih bagus. Walaupun barang bekas dijamin masih bagus, which means although used goods, it is guaranteed well, dan harganya murah. Dan harganya murah, which means and cheap price. B. Mary. Baiklah, saya akan tawarkan ke teman-teman yang lain. Baiklah, saya akan tawarkan ke teman-teman yang lain, which means all right, I will offer it to my friends. Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to learn Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I present you a talented Indonesian female keroncong singer, Mami Marsudi. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Telaga Biru or Blue Lake, sung by Mami Marsudi. Here is the song.
Thank you.
Listener, this song tells about one natural beauty on earth, namely the lake. Lake is usually identical to symbolize peace and coolness. Similarly, with the song, the beauty of the blue lake shimmering in the moonlight invited an angel to rejoice. Mami Basudi's name is known as a beautiful woman with a plaintive voice. Mami, whose real name is Prasito Resmi, is a familiar Kanchong singer. She becomes interested in this genre of music from tapes presented by her husband, Marsudi. The tapes were a gift of Central Java platform manager of Taman Mini Indonesia Indah in 1983, Anton. One of the songs that Mami Marsudi liked a lot is Sekuntum Bunga. Since then, Mami started following Kanchong singing competitions. She has visited various countries as an ambassador in the cultural mission, in particular in two types of arts she master, dancing and kroncong. Well, listener, that was a glance about Mami Marsudi's career in the Indonesian entertainment world. Now let's listen to the next song entitled Biola Kaca by Tri Novianti.
Teringat masa yang sebagai tanda kasih. Terima kasihku selama jalan biolaku. Kini
listener, this song tells about a beautiful story that relieved her past. Violin music reminded her of the idols once he sang Kroncong with violin accompaniment. Now the lover has gone forever, and that is left is the wonderful memories of time with him. Tri Novianti is one of Indonesia's female Kroncong singer that used to fill Kroncong program at the national television station DVRI. But after that, Tri Novianti rarely appear on stage in the country. But her songs are still popular among lovers of music, especially Kroncong in Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Sejak Kita Berpisah by Mami Marsuri and Kesayangan by Tri Novianti. Happy listening, sampai jumpa, bye-bye.
Sudah
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.